Welcome to another deep dive. We're going to be diving into some interesting stuff today.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we're going to be looking into this guy David Noel Lynch.
Okay.
And just so you know, it's not the filmmaker.
There's a filmmaker?
No, this is a different David Lynch, and he's got some pretty wild claims.
Okay, like what?
Well, he says he can, I mean, get this. He says he can tear the fabric of space.
Really?
Yeah. And he also says he can stop time.
Wow.
I know, right? And it gets even weirder. He claims he can pull off an immaculate conception.
Like as a magic trick.
As his grandest magic trick. That's what he says.
Okay, you said this was about magic, right?
Yeah.
Because this is like next level.
Yeah, so this David Lynch, he calls himself an Imagineer, whatever that means. But he really seems to be into this whole idea of illusion versus reality. Like, where's the line, right?
Right.
And what really caught my eye is all this stuff he said about James Randi.
James Randi, the skeptic guy.
Yeah, exactly. Apparently, Lynch sent him all these letters and photos about how Randi's organization owes him $1 million.
$1 million? What for?
It's a long story, but it supposedly involves a can of Coke Zero and disproving Newton's laws or something like that.
I got it here. Okay, so before we get into the Coke Zero of it all, we should probably talk about Nostradamus.
Nostradamus, what does he have to do with this?
Well, that's the thing. David Lynch, he sees a connection between himself and Nostradamus.
Okay, I know who Nostradamus is, obviously, but for those who might not know, can you just give us a quick.
Sure. So he was this French astrologer back in the 16th century, and he's famous for writing all these cryptic predictions, about plagues and wars and all sorts of disasters.
Some people think he predicted everything from like Hitler to 9/11.
Exactly. And people have been trying to decipher his writings for centuries, trying to figure out what he really meant.
Okay, so how does David Lynch fit into all of this?
He believes that just like Nostradamus couldn't just come out and directly say what he was predicting, Lynch is limited in how he can reveal his own discoveries.
So he's saying he's like a modern day Nostradamus, shrouded in riddles and
That's
metaphors.
one way to put it, yeah. He even compares himself to like an artist in Mecca, who would be risking their life if they were caught painting the prophet Muhammad.
Wow. Okay, so he's really drawing a parallel there.
Yeah, he's saying that both he and Nostradamus had to veil their truths to avoid some kind of dangerous consequences.
Okay, so that's the Nostradamus connection. But what about these other claims, like tearing space and stopping time? Those are some pretty out there ideas, even for someone who calls themselves an Imagineer.
Yeah, you're telling me. It's like he's talking about things that completely defy our current understanding of physics.
Right, like how could anyone possibly do that?
Exactly. And that's what makes this so interesting. He's not just claiming to understand these forces, he's saying he can actually manipulate them. He puts these abilities on the same level as a stage magician, creating illusions, but he claims his mastery is over reality itself.
Okay, well, that brings us back to the $1 million challenge. How does James Randi and his foundation play into all of this?
So James Randi, as you know, is this famous magician and skeptic, and he really wanted to debunk all these claims of paranormal abilities.
Right, he would call people out on their BS all the time.
Yeah, so he created the $1 million paranormal challenge through his foundation, JREF, and he offered $1 million to anyone who could demonstrate real paranormal abilities under controlled scientific conditions.
Didn't he challenge all kinds of psychics and spoon benders and
He
stuff?
did, and for decades he did this, but no one ever met his criteria to win the money.
So where does David Lynch come in?
Well, according to what you sent me, Lynch said he figured out this loophole by challenging Newton's third law of motion.
Wait, you mean like for every action, there's an equal and opposite
I
reaction?
don't.
That law.
That's the one. And apparently he thought he could disprove it using a can of Coke Zero.
Hold on, he tried to take down one of the fundamental laws of physics with a can of soda.
Yep, that's what it sounds like.
I am not making this up, folks. This is all in the source
No,
material.
I believe you.
Anyway, Lynch supposedly reached out to Randi directly, saying he could disprove this fundamental law with like this really simple demonstration.
And the centerpiece of this demonstration was a can of Coke Zero.
Shaken, not stirred.
You can't make this stuff up.
I'm serious. So what I have to ask is, was he serious? How could shaking a can of soda, even if it did something totally unexpected, how could that possibly change centuries of scientific understanding?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, even if the can like exploded or something, it wouldn't invalidate Newton's laws.
Right.
Right, there would be some scientific explanation for it, like the pressure inside the can or a weird chemical reaction. It wouldn't rewrite the laws of physics.
Exactly. So did this epic showdown between Lynch and Newton ever actually happen? Did Randi even entertain the idea?
Well, it doesn't look like it. Well, Lynch claims that he challenged Randy to a meeting at the Wynn Casino in Las Vegas, even going as far as to say it had to be at 7.0 p.m. on 7707. We don't have any confirmation if Randy ever showed up.
7707 at 7:07 p.m. He's awfully specific about that, isn't he?
It's definitely interesting, right? Almost like he's trying to give those dates and times some kind of extra significance.
Yeah, it's like he's got this whole thing planned out.
It seems that way. But anyway, yeah. The $1 million challenge was eventually discontinued a few years later, though it doesn't seem like it had anything to do with Lynch or his soda experiments.
So case closed on the $1 million Coke Zero debacle, at least for now. But there's more to this story because it seems our friend David's interests go beyond physics and magic. Apparently, he also dabbles in a little bit of wishmaking.
No.
And where else but Las Vegas? Wishmaking in Vegas.
Yeah, that sounds about right for this guy. He's like, he's got this whole system worked out right with these very particular dates and times.
Yeah, you're right about that. And speaking of which, he decided to test out his luck, you could say, with this whole wishmaking ritual on that very same date, 7707.
Okay, now this, I got to hear, what kind of ritual are we talking about? Like, what did he actually do?
So picture this. It's early morning in Vegas, just before 7 a.m. naturally, and David walks into the Bellagio with a handful of nickels and dimes and a few of his photographs.
He brought photographs to a casino. What was he planning on doing with those? Well, according to this, he goes up to the concierge desk and lays down two nickels and this abstract photograph he took of the Bellagio fountain.
Okay, that's kind of strange, I'll admit. But I guess it's Vegas. People have probably left weirder things at the concierge desk.
Oh, I'm sure. But it's what he said that's really something. So he points to the nickels and asks the concierge, do you know what that is?
And the concierge, being a good sport, probably used to dealing with all sorts of characters, says, yeah, it's 10 cents.
Exactly. And then, get this, David replies with, yes, but it's also a paradigm.
He said paradigm. Okay, now that is interesting. What do you think he was getting at with that?
Well, it's not totally clear, but it seems like he's trying to connect the simple value of 10 cents to this much grander concept of a paradigm shift, you know, like this radical change in thinking.
Right. Right. I see where he's going with that. And I guess 7707 was supposed to be like the start of a new paradigm or something.
That's what it sounds like. He even tells the concierge that it's a day they'll never forget.
Wow. Okay. So it's like he's staging this performance, right? Imbuing these everyday objects and this random interaction with some kind of deeper significance. But what about the photograph? What were that all about?
Right. So he shows her the photograph of the fountain and then flips it over to reveal something he calls a Noel.
A Noel. What is a Noel? Well,
that, my friend, is the $1 million question. It's not really explained clearly anywhere in this material.
Okay, so we have no idea what that means.
Well, he describes it as this visual representation of pretty much everything. He says it combines the energy of Einstein, the force of Newton, and the logic of Socrates to describe a moment of time as infinite.
Okay, so basically we have no idea. It could be a drawing, a mathematical equation, a self-portrait. Who knows?
Exactly. It's kind of frustrating, but also kind of exciting, right? Like we're trying to decode some secret message.
Right. Like this is some Dan Brown stuff.
Exactly. But whatever it is, Lynch seems to think it's this revolutionary idea. He even goes so far as to tell the concierge that if this Noel thing takes off, he's going to own this place, meaning the Bellagio, I assume.
Wow. Talk about confidence. But wait, there's more. Right. The dimes, the Wynn Casino, this is like a treasure map through Vegas.
Oh, there's definitely more. Look. So after his little performance at the Bellagio, Lynch heads over to the Wynn Casino later that evening, just before 7.0 p.m., naturally.
Naturally. Of course, 7.0 p.m.
Right. And he basically repeats this whole routine, but this time he uses dimes instead of nickels.
So double the denomination, double the wishes. Do you think he was trying to double down on that whole paradigm shift thing too?
It's possible. He leaves another abstract photograph at the Wynn, this one called a montage, and he says this one was inspired by the Cirque du Soleil show, Le Rave.
Okay, so we've got nickels at the Bellagio fountain, dimes at the Wynn's Lake of Dreams. Did he at least win anything with all this mystical gambling?
No reports of any jackpots, unfortunately. Though he does mention that the Wynn returned his artwork to him, which is interesting.
It's like they could sense the powerful cosmic energy radiating off that montage, and they just couldn't handle it.
Maybe. It makes you wonder what was going through their minds when they received it. But you know what else is interesting? He mentions sending out these letters, specifically ones addressed to the musicians Mark Tremonti and Miles Kennedy from the band Alter Bridge.
Alter Bridge. Okay. Yeah, I know them. So what's the story there? Why are they involved?
Yeah. And this act of returning his art, this rejection, maybe seems to be echoed in how Lynch reaches out to others. Those letters to the musicians are definitely intriguing. It seems Lynch believes they have a specific role to play in his self-proclaimed immaculate conception.
A specific role, like they're key to his grand plan somehow. He even says he hand-delivered one of these letters to Tremonti at a location connected to this immaculate conception idea.
It's all very cryptic, right? And this is where we really have to dive deep because, to be honest, the source material is pretty vague on the details of this immaculate conception.
Yeah, it's all very cryptic, and we're left trying to piece together what he means by this whole immaculate conception thing.
Right. So let's try to unpack it. What do we actually know about this?
Well, we know that Lynch claims to have experienced his own death at some point, and that's what he links to this immaculate conception. He even created artwork inspired by the experience.
Okay, so he had a near-death experience.
Maybe. He doesn't really go into detail, but he does say it was like the real world melted into an abstract, whatever that means.
Interesting. So you think he means like a literal death or more of a symbolic transformative kind of experience?
It's hard to say for sure, but it definitely sounds like some kind of profound psychological event happened. And I think you're right to highlight that sense of transformation. It's like he's saying that out of this death experience, whether literal or metaphorical, something new was born. This immaculate conception that he feels like he needs to share with the world.
And a message he takes seriously enough to hand deliver letters and gifts about it.
Exactly. It speaks to how strongly he believes in all of this. And it gets even weirder because he mentions someone named Peter Roman and the St. Malachy list in connection to the band and this immaculate conception idea. What have you heard about those?
Okay, so I know this might sound like we're going down a rabbit hole here, but have you ever heard of the St. Malachy list?
The St. Malachy list. Not ringing any bells.
Okay, so it's this old document, supposedly prophetic, that claims to predict the entire line of popes all the way to the very last one. And depending on how you interpret it, the list either ends with the current pope or his successor.
Hold on, so you're telling me he's connecting a rock band, an ancient papal prophecy, and his own personal revelation all through this immaculate conception idea? That's a bit of a stretch, don't you think?
It's a unique combination, to say the least. And honestly, without hearing from Lynch directly, it's really hard to say how he sees these things as all fitting together.
Right. Like, what's the connection between Peter Roman and all of this?
We have no idea. It's like he's created this elaborate riddle, and he's daring us to crack the code. Kind of like what he's doing with his whole Nostradamus thing.
Yeah, it's all very mysterious and open to interpretation, I guess.
Maybe that's the point. Maybe he wants us to wrestle with these seemingly random elements, you know, to search for those connections ourselves.
That's an interesting thought. Like, he's giving us the pieces, but it's up to us to put them all together.
Exactly. He's not afraid to think outside the box, that's for sure. And he's not afraid to challenge our assumptions about, you know, reality and perception and all of that. It makes you wonder, though, what did he say in those letters to Penn and Teller?
Right. Like, what was the purpose of sending them those letters? Do you think he sees them as kindred spirits? Fellow travelers on this path of challenging perceptions?
It's possible. He definitely seems to admire what they do. You know, their ability to make people question what they're seeing, to play with that line between belief and illusion.
So maybe he was looking for some kind of validation from them, or maybe a platform to share his ideas with a wider audience.
Or maybe just maybe he wanted to pull off the ultimate magic trick, to make us believe in something truly extraordinary, something that defies logic and explanation.
Whoa. It's like he's created this whole narrative, this intricate web of connections and prophecies. And maybe it's all just an illusion. His greatest performance yet.
Now, wouldn't that be something? It really makes you wonder, who is this David Noel Lynch? Is he a misunderstood genius? A modern-day mystic? Or just a master storyteller who's blurring the lines between reality and illusion?
I don't know about you, but after this deep dive, I'm thinking it's a mix of all three.
Yeah, me too. It's impossible to say for sure.
But ultimately, I guess it's up to each of us to decide what we believe. We've laid out the facts, the connections, the contradictions. Now it's up to you to draw your own conclusions.
That's the beauty of a deep dive like this. We get to explore these fascinating, unconventional ideas, and we walk away with more questions than answers.
And maybe that's okay. Maybe the real magic is in the searching, you know, the questioning, the constant pursuit of understanding.
Well said. So if you're listening to this, I'll leave you with this. What if David Lynch is right? What if he has figured out how to stop time and we're all just living in his paused reality? And if so, what does that mean for everything we thought we knew?
It's a mind-bending thought, for sure. And with that, we'll leave you to ponder the mysteries of David Noel Lynch until our next deep dive.